Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. In St. Augustine's On Free Choice of the Will, we very understandably get quite a bit of discussion of this faculty of choice that we call the will, something that is really at the core of our being in Augustine's anthropology. And this runs throughout all of his work, in fact, the notion of the will as being absolutely central in moral decision-making and how we commit ourselves and whether we position ourselves rightly or wrongly in relation to all the rest of the cosmos. That's a key theme that we see coming up over and over and over again. Here, one of the central conceptions that we need to think about is, what is a good will? And one tempting way of understanding a good will would be to say, well, you know, Augustine is a Christian, so, you know, whatever God says is good, the will that follows that is automatically a good will. It's not quite so simple. I mean, that will, in fact, be true if we understand what God is saying in terms of the eternal law. But that's not all there is to the picture. There's a much richer conception at work here of the will. So at one point in the discussion between Augustine and his student in Book 1, he says that a good will is a will by which we seek to live rightly and virtuously. In Latin, recta honestique vivere. And some people might quibble and say, oh, it doesn't actually say virtuously. But when we look at what it means to be honeste, you know, that's an adverb, how it's living in accordance with the four cardinal virtues. So it's pretty clear that that is an integral part of it. And that's not all that the goodwill does. The goodwill also wants to reach the heights of wisdom. That is, in Latin, ad summum sapientiam pervenere, to penetrate up to the very heights or the very highest points of wisdom. So there's, you could say, a kind of cognitive and conative thing, you know, action-oriented. And, you know, there's also an affective side to this as well. So there's a lot going on here. A good will is, you could say, kind of a nexus within the human person of not just doing the right thing, choosing the right thing, but having the right motives and valuing things properly. So it's quite complex. What is this going to look like in, you know, practical life? Well, you know, we can get a bit of understanding by looking at what he contrasts this against. A will that is fundamentally damaged, screwed up, getting things wrong. A little bit earlier in the work, he talks about how it's up to us, it's up to our will and our free choice of the will, whether or not we give into desire or whether we choose something else than desiring temporal goods. So he says, there's a punishment if we screw up. What is the punishment? It's not, you know, going down to hell and getting poked with pitchforks by demons and flames or anything like that. It's being the screwed up thing that we are. It's having a damaged will that is unable to really will what it ought to will. So he says the punishment is the mind being ruled by passion, being robbed of its store of virtue, being dragged hither and thither, poor and needy, now judging false for true, now defending, now attacking what before it approved, and then running off into fresh falsehood, withholding its assent, and often frightened of clear reasoning, despairing of finding any truth at all, and clinging closely to the darkness of its folly, and then falling back through exhaustion. This is all sort of cognitive stuff. And then he says, the passions rage like tyrants, throw into confusion the whole soul and life of men who, with storms from every quarter, fear on one side, desire on another anxiety or false empty joy, here pain for the thing which was loved and lost, their eagerness to win what is not possessed, their grief for an injury received, here burning desire to avenge it. And he goes on and on and on, right? And he says that this is what happens to a will that is not a good will. So what makes a will a good will if we want to avoid that sort of internal turmoil? Part of it is actually valuing the good will highly, that is, to the extent that it should be valued, and taking a great joy in possessing it. When we actually do possess the virtues and a right way of motivating ourselves, when even when we're just on the way, moving away from all of these vices and passions and cognitive problems, if we're going the right way, we might feel sad about, you know, how screwed up we are, but we can feel good about the, you know, measure of goodwill we do possess, the direction that we're going in. We value that more highly than anything else, any temporal thing, and we take joy in it, he says. That is really central to the conception of the goodwill. And this is what he means by a will by which we live to seek righteously and virtuously and to reach the height of wisdom. He says, I want you to tell me how much you think this will is worth. Do you think that riches or honors or bodily pleasures or all of these together bear any comparison with it? And Evodia says, no, not at all. It's very easy for us, though, to think that, well, if I do the wrong thing right now in order to make a buck or in order to get some pleasure, I'll make up for it later, you know? But we've already abandoned the goodwill in doing that. So he says, do you think that those who lack this joy suffer a small loss in being deprived of such a good? And Evodia says, no, they suffer a great loss. What's really key to Augustine's way of looking at things is that it is up to us whether or not we have or keep the goodwill. It's our choice. Now, you know, very rarely do we sort of lay it out for ourselves in mental images and say, aha, the goodwill or this pleasure, right? We could do that if we were thinking things through well, but more often we're like doing the right thing, exercising this virtue of prudence or temperance or justice, and making a couple extra bucks or getting an honor or something like that, which usually involves doing something that we know is wrong, like, you know, telling a lie or maybe not even a complete lie, just puffing up our accomplishments or letting a person believe something that isn't strictly true. We could go on and on and on with examples, right? So it is up to us, he says. He says, it lies in the power of our will, whether we enjoy or lack this great and true good. Why? What is so fully in the power of the will as the will itself? It's up to the will whether or not it's going to be a good will or a bad will. If it has a status of being a good will, it's up to us whether it keeps being a good will. And this does, in fact, require the virtues and exercising those virtues. So it does require prudence, knowing what's good for us or bad for us and putting that into practice. Justice, giving to everybody what they properly are owed. You know, right order is part of that. Temperance, you know, not giving in to all of the desires and pleasures that we might. And then courage, standing up against fear and despising some of the things that we otherwise would be very into. So, you know, to go on, we do, in fact, as he says, choose and keep the goodwill. But he goes a bit further. To have the goodwill, strictly speaking, means to love the goodwill, to feel a kind of love towards oneself or that part of oneself that not only does choosing, not only has this capacity to, like, decide things and order them and prioritize them, but is properly ordered. So when we have this within ourselves, it's not like we should feel, you know, proud in the bad sense, but we can look at it and say, wow, that's really something good. It may not be perfect, but it is indeed something good that we could take some joy in. So he says, this is what it means to have goodwill. There's a kind of reflexivity to it. He says, whether to love one's own goodwill and value it as highly as we've said is itself goodwill, that's the question. And Evodius says, yes, that is indeed it. When you have the goodwill, part of what it means to have the goodwill is that that goodwill values that goodwill in the right way. And that may be a little bit complex, but we can see a sort of circularity there, or reflexivity, as we've said. It is also going to involve loving other things. So among them, it'll involve loving the eternal law. And the eternal law is this thing that Augustine thinks provides moral norms for all other laws. It's the law coming from God. It's also a law that we're able to grasp by reason. It doesn't change from time to time and place to place, situation to situation. It remains right. It remains the standard of right. And so having a good will means loving the eternal law. It also means deserving happiness in accordance with the eternal law as well, and following the eternal law because it is the eternal law, or putting it another way, because it's right, because it's what's good for us. So the eternal law provides a set of standards that the good will can use to structure itself, to guide itself. And it even sort of ratifies the fact that part of the eternal law is if it doesn't do that, then it's going to fall into misery. You know, the eternal law dictates that reward and punishment happen through happiness and misery, and that the will gets to decide between those. So what is this ultimately going to mean? It's not just about the eternal law. It's not just about looking within. It'll also have to do with how we arrange all of the other goods in our life, the temporal goods, which are, in fact, genuine goods. Pleasure, social status, our relationships with other people, wealth, those sorts of things. What do we make of them? If we have a good will, we make sure that the goodwill always comes first, and those things, if we have to choose between them and the goodwill, it comes second. But if we can enjoy them and use them properly, then that is actually the goodwill. And they can, in fact, according to Augustine, be used properly, that is, in accordance with the eternal law. So this is a particularly robust and reflexive conception of what it means to possess a genuinely good will as a human being, as somebody who is endowed with this faculty as part of our very human nature. And one thing I'll say by way of closing this off is that in other places, Augustine talks about the will itself as being a very great good, that we would not be as good as we are, even though we're very often quite bad and screwed up, if we lacked a free will. So this, the right use of the free will, the good will, is something that's going to be of absolute importance in Augustine's moral theory. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.